Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
Connect directly to IT contractors globally on the only dedicated subscription-based platform, Tech Finder. That's Finder with a Y.
Probably no major surprise. Brexit is dominating certainly the broadsheets here at home this morning. Examiner's headline today, State Facing Brexit Cliff Edge, and the Irish Times running today with emotions run high as MEPs ratify Brexit deal in Brussels. If you're only joining us this morning, MEPs yesterday overwhelmingly endorsed the Brexit withdrawal agreement, giving effectively a kind of a clear go-ahead now to the departure of the UK from the EU. It'll happen tomorrow night at midnight, Brussels time. The vote was carried by 621 to 49. The final stage of the ratification process, though, which is now only has to be signed off formally today by the European Council. But once it leaves tomorrow, the UK will then kind of enter this transition period until the end of December, during which the two sides will try to reach a trade agreement. We'll have more on that story coming up here on Breakfast Briefing in around 10 minutes' time. The other story, though, the front page of the Irish Independent this morning, I think, is something that will come as quite alarming or certainly concerning to parents out there of young children who are in childcare. The headline, creches told they won't get state funds on day of protest. The industry correspondent, this is Anne-Marie Walsh, writing in the front of the Irish Independent this morning that this is the creche owners that are going to hold the protest next Wednesday. You may have heard about this in the last couple of weeks. It's over what they're describing as the worsening childcare crisis, but the owners have now been told that state funding, their state funding will be docked if they take part, if they participate in this national protest ahead of next week's election. And the Department of Children has issued a circular to childcare providers outlining the implications if they take part in the rally next Wednesday. It says that normal preschool and other childcare scheme payments will be pulled for a day if they partially or even or if they even partially or fully shut down their services. And crucially, it won't fund them to open on a separate day or an alternative day to make up the lost time. And the parents are facing the threat of effectively widespread chaos across the country. Up to 1,300 childcare providers are expected to take part in the rally during working hours, and it's been organised by the Early Years Alliance to demand what they've described as a sustainable solution to the worsening childcare crisis. It's interesting because I think a lot of the childcare providers, certainly that we heard from in recent weeks, who they were hoping to kind of offer effectively a sort of a day in lieu to parents. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, maybe what it means. Maybe it means nothing at all. Perhaps the childcare providers will still go ahead with this day of protest or even partially next Wednesday. If you're one of those listening to us this morning, though, if you are a childcare provider, we want to hear from you. If you're one of the 1,300 across the country who's planning to take part in this protest, the fact now that even if you participate, that your scheme payments will be pulled on the day, we want to know what's going to happen. You can let us know on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. A quick look at the tabloids this morning. The Sun, The Star, The Mirror and The Herald all lead today with the 43-year-old woman who appeared in court charged with the murder of her three children yesterday. The Dublin District Court was told Deirdre Morley of Parsons Court, Newcastle in County Dublin, made no reply when charged yesterday afternoon. And there's more on that court appearance across all of the papers today. The Daily Mail leads this morning with a story that happened yesterday morning and afternoon. The headline, Manhunt as Shots Fired at Unarmed Gardaí. Officers were trying to trace the movements of a blue BMW car that was driven by a man who, it's understood, shot at Gardaí in County Wexford yesterday morning. Now, the Gardaí are looking for information on the car and a suspect as well, who's described as 6 foot tall and of thin build, wearing a scarf over his face and a hat. No officers were injured. The Gardaí did hold a press conference about that yesterday evening, which is also quoted in the papers. Superintendent Gerard McGrath says the shooting was highly reckless. And there's more on that story on the front page of the Daily Mail today as well. To some of the other stories, though, that you'll be talking about this morning, the coronavirus is really dominating here at home as well today. The Irish Examiner's headline, Irish citizens leaving Wuhan to be quarantined in France. This is Daniel McConnell, the Examiner's political editor, writing this morning that Simon Coveney, the Taoiseach, has confirmed now that a number of Irish citizens have requested to leave Wuhan in China, where the deadly coronavirus is believed to have originated. And these people are likely to be quarantined in France for up to a fortnight, he said. He said his officials have been highly active in liaising with Irish citizens in China, and the Department of Foreign Affairs is also advising Irish citizens against all non-essential travel to China now. He was speaking at a political Fine Gael event in Dublin, and he said there's a small number of Irish citizens who are in the province that's affected. And there's more on that story also in the front page and inside the Irish Examiner today. Also, though, just in terms of what to look out for today as well, the Irish Times leading today, and you may have heard it in our news bulletin at the top of the show, that the World Health Organization is going to meet later on today to decide whether to declare the coronavirus outbreak now a major international emergency. All travel links to China were heavily curtailed. And as I just mentioned, Irish citizens advised not to visit the country. That's the story you're going to be hearing much more about throughout the course of the day. The other story, though, you'll be hearing more about it and also on breakfast this morning. It emerged yesterday. It's inside the Irish Independent this morning. Part of the NCT suspended due to vehicle lift safety fears is the headline. This is the National Car Testing Service, the NCT, have suspended part of its test with immediate effect due to what they describe as serious safety concerns with its vehicle lifts. And the decision comes just one day after the MOT test, this is in the north, were cancelled after signs of cracking were found in almost 50 lifts. Now, in a statement, A++, which is the operator of the NCT, said it'll discontinue the use of ramps across the network until a full condition survey of all lifts is completed. But drivers due for an NCT will still be able to take 2/3 of the test, but they will then have to return and to take the final part once the issue has been resolved. We'll have more on that story, as I mentioned, coming up on breakfast after 7 this morning. Also, just an interesting story in the papers too today. There's not enough workers now to build homes that have been promised by politicians. The political policy element of the general election is going to dominate in breakfast this morning, but it's an interesting piece. This is the construction consultancy firm Mitchell McDermott, page 5 of the Irish Independent this morning. Ireland doesn't have nearly enough construction workers to deliver politicians' election promises on housing. And it's according to a new report by Mitchell McDermott, they found the sector was already feeling the sort of Celtic Tiger levels of pressure and is in danger of overheating. I've no doubt you'll hear more on that commentary too today. Also an interesting story, the story of the day, I think, that caught my eye certainly this morning. It's an interesting opinion piece in The Independent, page 3 of the paper. 1950s Irish were much more attractive than today's generation due to a healthier diet. This is a top consultant, Dr. Chris Luke, you often hear him here in the programme, has said that Ireland's post-war generation were much more Instagram friendly than the current generation because of their healthy seasonal diet. And he said that Irish people in the 40s, the 50s and the 60s ate a seasonal diet of fresh produce with little or no access to convenience food. And he said the elegant black and white photographs of people's grandparents and the mantelpieces around the country are a kind of a timely reminder of the benefits of a more austere lifestyle. And he also just pointed at one or two things. He talked about the fact that they had a very structured system of consumption and rarely had snacks in between. Dr. Luke pointed out that they'd very little processed food. They tended to put far less on their plate at dinner time. And just in terms of kind of the Celtic Tiger onwards levels, he said that when we saw the downsides of the prosperity in terms of obesity, processed food, the huge carbon footprint and all other problems with globalisation, he also said imported vegetables, things like avocados, rack up a huge amount of air miles. It's all very well to talk about the virtues of veganism, but it's not particularly virtuous for people in an island in the Atlantic to be relying for their daily intake on veg and produce of countries thousands of miles away, not in an era where we have to mind our carbon footprint. Interesting observations, page 3 of the Irish Independent this morning. Just one or two other stories that caught my eye today. 3 cups of tea cuts Alzheimer's risk, also in the Independent. We've been told this morning that consuming 3 cups of tea every single day could cut your risk of developing Alzheimer's. This is researchers in the US have identified a link to an antioxidant that is present in nearly all fruits and veg as well as tea. For an average of 6 years, they tracked what more than 900 elderly people had to eat and drink, and they monitored who went on to develop Alzheimer's. But they were divided into five groups based on the antioxidant in their diet. Those in the group where average age was 81 and who ingested the most were 48% less likely to suffer from Alzheimer's. Just one other story, a little bit quirky and random, in London this morning. It's on evoke.ie. They're telling us today it is a little bit cheesy, but there's a new pop-up hotel that's devoted entirely to cheese. It's opened in London on Camden Street. It just seems unbelievable. This hotel is, they've already welcomed their first guests. They're a pop-up hotel that's going to be there until around the springtime. And it's all cheese themed. So if you're a cheese lover, there's like, we're talking about cheese themed bed linen, art installations, even the soap in the bathroom smells like cheese. The best part is that if you start to feel a little peckish, you can pick up the phone, the cheese hotline, and the cafe will deliver, yep, you guessed it, some cheese right to your front door. More on that story and even a video of it on evoke.ie as well this morning. Those are the stories making the headlines this Thursday morning.
Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
Connect directly to IT contractors globally on the only dedicated subscription-based platform, TechFinder. That's Finder with a Y.